Well, I want to focus our thoughts this evening on a few words from that passage that has just been read to us by Gordon. You'll find them in verse 10 of chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. They're words that keep cropping up in the Christmas story. You find them in Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, when the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias in the temple. You find them again at verse 30 of Luke 1, when the angel appears to Mary. And here at chapter 2 and verse 10, on the hillside outside Jerusalem, when the angel appeared to the shepherds. And there are these words, "Do not fear." Or if you've got the authorized version, "Fear not." Fear not. What is the message of Christmas really about? What is the coming of Christ into this world really about? Well, it can be described in one way as the removal of fear. Fear not. We all have fears, don't we? If anybody doesn't have any, put your hand up now. We all have fears. We all have things that we don't like to think about. Some things that send a shiver down our spine. In fact, the fears that we face in life are probably more than we imagine. Just think about it for a moment. Some people fear spiders. I'm one of them. Don't like spiders very much. Some people fear little mice. Some people fear heights. Their legs tremble. They get into an elevated position. Somebody once said to me, "Well, of course, it's not fear of heights so much. It's the fear of falling and the sudden stop at the bottom that's the real problem." But as you get older, you do find you don't like to be up quite so high as we perhaps did at one time. People fear financial setbacks in their lives. People fear disease. They fear getting old. Some of us are getting old. We fear losing our independence. We fear being forgotten. We fear being rejected by other people. Younger people have fears as well. They fear failure in their exams. They fear failure in their careers, perhaps. They fear being disappointed. The fears that follow us and haunt us through life are many. We're constantly stalked by different fears. It's true even at Christmas. To tell you this, the message of the angels, as we read at verse 14, was that of peace and goodwill toward men. But Christmas is one of the most anxious and stressful times for many people in this world. Some fear they won't have enough money come the new year, having spent too much over the Christmas season. Others fear that the presents we buy other people might not quite meet their expectations, and we say, "Can we get them socks again, you know?" We fear all kinds of things. Cooks may fear, "Is the turkey cooked properly? Have we got enough vegetables? It's Brussels sprouts, are all right, but the rest of them, no." We fear all kinds of things. But on a more serious note, it's a fact that this Christmas season is one where shortly afterwards, and this is a fact, in the new year, the divorce rate goes up sharply. Don't know if you know that, but that's a fact. The stress and strain of Christmas for some relationships is the final straw. Or couples wait until Christmas is over for the sake of the kids before they file for divorce. Others fear Christmas because it brings back memories of loved ones now departed. There's the empty chair. We're surrounded by fears. We're surrounded by anxieties. It's nothing new, you know. It's not something peculiar to us. People have feared since the dawn of civilization, ever since the fall of Adam in the garden. When Adam, having sinned against God, owned up to why he was hiding from the Lord God among the trees of the garden, what did he say? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Adam was afraid, and the descendants of Adam are no different. We fear as well. Let's admit to it. We may cover our fears. We may put on a brave face at times, but deep down, we all, every single one of us, has them. This is true not only on a personal level, it's true on a national level as well. Think of the fears that face people in the world today. There's the fear of war. Now, you'd have thought that after two world wars, nations would have found a better way to sort out their difference than going to war against one another. But the threat's still there. The Cold War may technically be over, but we still need a nuclear deterrent as our new Prime Minister. The threat of war is still there, as the fear, isn't there, of global terrorism. It can strike at any time. We've had these horrendous things happening in recent days in our own country. There's the fear of climate change, the greenhouse effect. These fears pose massive, massive problems for this generation, for our politicians. The reasons for fear are many. But there's another fear that I haven't mentioned that haunts many. It's largely unspoken, and we hide it away, as it were, in the back of our minds, and we try not to think about it. What fear is that? It's the fear of death. The fear of death. It's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of judgment. Now, we've been told tirelessly, relentlessly by secular humanists these past decades that there's no God and there's no judgment. Therefore, live it up, be merry, this life is all there is. But our God-given conscience still pricks us at times and tells us, suppose there is a God. What about that? Well, there is, and the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, it's against that background that I want you to think of these words for a few minutes. These wonderful words addressed to the shepherds on that first Christmas. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Their immediate cause of fear was the sudden appearance of the angel, and the glory and the brightness which had suddenly illuminated the night skies. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were overwhelmed. They were speechless, overawed by the sense of God. Fear gripped them. You know how it is when you're so afraid, you're rooted to the spot, and you can't move. Fear grips your heart. Well, that's how these shepherds were. The glory of God caused them to be greatly afraid. You see, in the light of God's glory, God's holiness, they realized the darkness of their own hearts. And they realized the great gulf there was between them and God. They were greatly afraid. But out of that blazing light, they heard the voice of the angel with these wonderful words of comfort. Fear not. Do not be afraid. As I said, one way of looking at this season is to think of it as the removal of fear. Imagine a fear-free society. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I can tell you that's what God's heaven is. And it is like that because perfect love casts out fear. And God's love for us is perfect. I can't really think of two greater words than these. Fear not. Now, you might say to me, it's all very well saying the message of Christmas is all about not fearing. But why should we not fear? On what basis are we not to fear? On what grounds may we not fear? Well, it's because of the wonderful words that follow on from "Fear not." Why should we not fear? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So the Christmas message is an announcement. It's from great and wonderful news. It's good tidings of great joy. And before we move on, let me just ask you for a moment, is that how you see Christmas? Because my observation is that many people do not see it that way. You find even at Christmas that the good news that's here in the Bible is sidelined. We mustn't have nativity scenes anymore. Some people are renaming Christmas as Winterville. And if you try to tell people about the meaning of Christ's advent, sometimes you find they get quite angry, indignant, prickly. Why bring Christ into Christmas? I don't want to know, they say. Now, of course, that is their right. But tragically, sadly, in refusing to listen, they are turning away from the only one who can deal with their real need and their deepest fears. The Christmas message of deliverance from fear, you see, is bound up in a glorious person. And the angel spoke of him to the shepherds at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What is the greatest need of the world today? Someone put it like this. If our greatest need was for information, God would have sent us an educationist. Is education our greatest need? Well, it's important. I don't doubt that. I don't question that. But our greatest need? Has education solved all the problems that we see in our land and in the world today? It hasn't. If our greatest need were for pleasure, this is a pleasure-loving society. But if our greatest need were for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. Now, there'll be much entertainment going on over these coming weeks, I don't doubt. But it won't fulfill your needs and it won't take away your fears. Some think their greatest need is to become rich. Wealth and riches. Well, if that were the case, God might have sent us an economist. If our greatest need were for technology, God may have sent us a scientist. But our greatest need is for redemption. Our greatest need is for salvation from sin. And therefore God sent us his Son, the Savior. This is good tidings of great joy, friends. It's why we need never fear again. Because Christ, when we truly know him, replaces fear with his peace. The peace of God, the Bible says, which passes all understanding. Jesus said to his disciples when he left them, "My peace I leave you. Not as the world gives peace do I give unto you." The peace of God. Somebody's calculated that the phrase "fear not," or its equivalent, occurs 365 times in the Bible. Now, there's something for you to do over the Christmas season. You can go and check it out. I haven't checked it out, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Because those who know Christ have his deep abiding peace every day of the year, no matter what happens. The Christian need not fear anything, not even death. The word of God says in Hebrews 3:15, that Christ has come. Why has he come? To release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How did he do this? Well, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary was God's Son. We sang that lovely hymn, God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. But why? It was so that he could live that perfect life. He lived the life that you and I cannot live. He kept all the commandments of God, those Ten Commandments, perfectly. We've broken them. He kept them. And he died, the sinless one, upon the cross. And he died as the sinner's substitute. That is, in our place. He bore the penalty for our sin in his body on the tree. And his sacrifice was accepted by God the Father. And we know that is so, for he raised him from the dead. He ever lives. And all who turn to him and trust in him receive God's forgiveness and pardon. He's a Savior who truly saves. He's a Savior who casts out fear and replaces it with his own peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's a wonderful thing to know peace with God. It's a wonderful thing to be reconciled to God. Let me close with a story. It's a true story. There used to be a well-known Scottish preacher called John McNeill. And he relates how when he was a child, he had to walk a long distance home every evening through very rugged terrain up there in Scotland. And he tells us the route led him through a forest. There was a large ravine which he could have fallen down. And if that wasn't enough, there were regular reports of wild animals and villains. Gangs of thieves in that area. And he tells us a great fear would grip his heart as a young man as he walked home, as he made his way home. He was so glad to get home. Trying every tree, he expected somebody to jump out, or shadows from behind the rocks, or he might fall into the ravine. And he tells us that the one evening, one misty night, he was aware of something or someone in the distance, moving slowly towards him. And he says he was absolutely sure it was somebody who was going to attack him. Somebody who was going to rob him. And then, as if that wasn't enough, a voice called out in the darkness from a distance. And it said, he said, its eerie tone struck my heart with fear. And he says, I thought I was finished. And then sometime later, there came a second call. This time, the figure was much nearer. And he said, I heard a voice clearly saying, John, is that you? And he says, it was my father. He knew about my fears, and he'd come to meet me. Oh, you see where I'm going. It was the voice from John McNeill's father that brought peace to his fearful heart. And this Christmas, I have a word for you from God, your Heavenly Father. And I trust you won't mistake it for the voice of someone else. Because it's the voice of God in heaven who sent his Son into this world of sin to be the Savior. And he tells us in his word, God the Father so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he it is who says to you, as you look to his Son on that cross, fear not. Fear not. Is there fear in your heart tonight? Perhaps you're aware that you're not right with God. Your sin has separated you from God. Bring that fear to Jesus. Is there sadness in your heart? Bring it to Jesus. Is there fear of judgment? Bring it to Jesus. Is there disappointment and disillusionment because of the trials of life? Bring them to Jesus. Are there burdens too heavy to bear? Bring them to Jesus. Is there brokenness and despair? Bring it to Jesus. Whatever your fear, bring it to Jesus. And listen to his gracious invitation. Come to me, he says. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the Son of God. Fear not. Come to the Son of God who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and me. We're all lost. Who came to deliver sinners from every fear and to grant them his forgiveness, his peace, and his pardon. There's an old saying about Christ and his birth at Bethlehem, and it goes something like this. Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, until he is born within your heart, your life is still forlorn. You don't know why you're here, dear friend, and you don't know where you're going. And if our lives are haunted by fears, if that's you tonight, I can tell you, you have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own Lord and your own Savior. You've yet to know God's peace. You've yet to know your sins forgiven. Now, you might have heard this Christmas story many times. I don't know. But this is the question. Have you ever received the one who came from heaven to earth so long ago, who came, as the scripture says, to save his people from their sin? And my simple prayer tonight is this. May God's fear not. Do not fear. May it drop deep down into your heart as you receive Christ, God's Son, as your own Lord and Savior. We read in John's Gospel at chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right, that is the authority, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. If it's to all people, why not you? Why not you? Fear not. It's another way of saying, have faith. Trust in Christ. Believe in Christ. Have faith. Trust God's word. Trust his Son. Turn to him for salvation. And then you will really unite with the heavenly hosts, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May you know God's rich blessing this Christmas season, and may you know it by receiving Christ into your heart. Let's just pray, and then we'll sing our final hymn. Our Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth, said our Saviour. And we pray, Lord, that the truth of your word might begin to dawn on every heart here. We pray, Lord, that all might come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.